Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be together, and good morning to Edenvale as we live stream to Edenvale this morning. So Boxburg, give them a shout. And good morning to every single one of you who may be new with us today as your babies are being dedicated, your children are being dedicated. We look forward to doing that with you. It's a privilege and an honor to do that later on in the service. So welcome. We're glad to have you and we're glad to be able to share the moments together. Church, imagine for a moment with me that you were the one person in all of Scripture that made Jesus amazed. Imagine you were the person that made Jesus's jaw drop. In all of Scripture, there's only one person that positively amazed Jesus. Who was this person? Was it a rabbi? Was it a disciple? Not either one of those. The person that amazed Jesus was the least likely person on earth. It was a Roman centurion. A Gentile, a man of war, a man's man, a guy's guy. He was the one that amazed Jesus. And the thing that amazed Jesus was his response to Jesus. It was his response to Jesus. The way that this guy responded in faith to Jesus made Jesus's jaw drop. Today we're going to talk about the power of a faith-filled response. How you and I as people respond to God. Why it's so important for us. What it does in our lives. What it does most importantly perhaps in the world around us. Now to understand why response is important, it's important to realize that in our interactions with God, in our friendship with God, God is an initiator and we are the responders. God is always on the front foot with you and me, friends. God is always the one reaching out. God is always the one initiating. Picture your child coming home from school one day, and as they come home from school, the natural thing for a parent, even if you get zero information out of them Monday to Thursday, on Friday, what are you going to do? You're still going to go, hey love, how was your day? Tell me about your day. Tell me about your life. And as they become a teenager, the pleading gets great. Please give me some information about your life. Can I get any amens? God is always on the front foot. God is the mom and the dad, and sometimes we can be like the teenage child who doesn't respond. And if you're a teenager here today, it's okay, because every single one of the old people next to you were once teenagers themselves, and they were probably dodgier than what you are right now. And every cleaned up adult was once a dodgy teenager. I heard the analogy and it meant a lot to me. God is like the sun consistently sending warm rays to earth. And we are earth receiving his love constantly. How does God relate? Because if we're going to talk about response today, and I hope today there's something already starting to stir in your spirit about the power of response. But if we respond, how does God relate to us? Well, God relates to us in Scripture through his word, where he speaks. God relates when we pray and when we draw close to him, when we cry out to him, when we call upon him, when we do business with God in prayer, when we speak to him, he relates to us that way. God relates to us through circumstances. God relates to us through people in our lives, doesn't he? God relates to us through His presence. He relates to us through the Holy Spirit. God relates to us through the convictions that come our way from the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit speaks to us. God speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives. God speaks to us through the challenges of our lives. Here's the point, and I realize for some of us this may come easy, for some of us this might be a more difficult statement to accept, but God is always initiating. God is always on the front foot. God is always reaching out. Now, this man that made Jesus' jaw drop, this guy who was a Roman centurion, let's go to his account found in Scripture. Let's go back to him. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll read the account in Scripture. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, so he was actually going to hang out there. He'd kind of formed a bit of a base there, Jesus. A Roman officer came and he pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and I'll heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, his jaw dropped. Imagine being the one person in Scripture that made Jesus' jaw drop. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus turns back to the Roman officer and he said to him, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. I want us to notice today that this Roman centurion responds to Jesus in a very momentous and a very profound way. Firstly, notice that he comes to Jesus in the first place. That was very unusual. Romans didn't come to Jews, church. In those days, Rome and Israel were enemies. Jewish people and Israel and Roman occupiers were enemies. So a Roman did not come to a Jew for help. A centurion definitely didn't come to a citizen for help. So notice in the first place that this man comes to Jesus. He is responsive to Jesus. When Jesus walks past him, there's something in his spirit that leaps. He had heard about him and he decided to respond to him. But notice when he does begin interacting with Jesus and he says, you know, my servant is sick, heal him. And then Jesus says, well, I'll come. And then this guy responds with an even deeper level of response. I want you to see this today. He goes, you don't even need to come my way. Just say the word and you'll be healed. Do you notice the lean in? Do you notice this man's sense of response to Jesus? And what I see from the Scripture today, and I want to offer you three characteristics that this man had. And I want to suggest to you and I today that if you and I are going to become good responders to Christ, if there's going to be a response within your life and in my life to Jesus, because when we respond to God, things happen. Three characteristics. Number one, he had a humble heart. A Roman citizen, a Roman centurion, coming to a Jewish guy And notice in the text, you can go and study this for yourself in the week. He calls Jesus Lord. Not once, but twice. I hope you're getting a sense today of how completely unprecedented, how completely unusual, how completely on its head this thing turns society. Romans didn't come to Jews. Officers didn't come to citizens. A Roman centurion doesn't come to a Jewish guy and call him master. Romans called nobody master. But there was something in the DNA of Jesus that he knew this man is a master. And then he goes, I'm not even worthy to have you under my roof. Do you notice the humility? Not only does he go, Jesus, master, twice. He doesn't stop there. His humility deepens as the interaction goes on. He goes, I'm not even worthy to have you come to my house. I want to suggest to us that if we want to be people who respond to God's initiation, if we want to respond to the way Jesus relates to us, if we want to be people with responsive spirits, if we want to be people who've got something within us that when God moves, we can respond. When God speaks, we can respond. When God begins to prompt, we can respond. When God convicts, we can respond. Are you with me? Humility is the number one characteristic of the life that God can do something with. There is a reason Moses got chosen to lead Israel out of Egypt. Scripture describes, God described Moses as the most humble man that ever lived. Humble heart. You tracking with me? Secondly, he had a generous spirit. He had a generous spirit. I want you to notice, in those days, if a Roman servant got sick. If a servant of a Roman person got sick, they would normally either sell them or discard them and leave them to die. Notice how generous this man's spirit is. He actually asks for his servant to be healed. He's interested in helping his servant get well. That's generosity of spirit, unprecedented for the Roman world in those days. Notice that his generosity of spirit doesn't stop there. He says to Jesus, I know if you come to my house, you're going to have to travel. Let me spare you that. Also, Jesus, I know that you're a rabbi. And so when you get to my house, I know that a good rabbi is never going to go into a Gentile home because they weren't allowed to. So this man is so generous in his spirit, so thoughtful in his spirit. He says to Jesus, let me spare you that. I know you're a man of great authority. You just say the word and he'll be fine. You notice how generous he is? And then the third aspect of his generosity is you look in Luke 7, which is the parallel text, which tells us more about this. The Jewish leaders actually came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, look, if there's anybody that deserves help here, it's this guy, because he's actually built our synagogue. He was a man of generosity of spirit. God can do incredible stuff in your life and in my life when we open our spirits. When we don't sit tight-fisted, when we don't sit hard-hearted, when we don't sit closed off to people, to the things of God. A generous spirit is somebody who's open-handed, open-hearted, open-minded to the world around us, to the challenge around us, to the suffering around us, to the need around us. Are you with me? How do we become responsive people? Humility, generosity of spirit. And then third aspect of this man that I see in the text is that he had spiritual eyes. He had spiritual eyes. Not only did he have a humble heart, not only did he have a generous spirit, he had spiritual eyes. Why? This guy understood Jesus' authority like nobody else in Scripture, it seems. That's what amazed Jesus. This guy, hang with me. This guy understood that everything on this planet was subject to the authority of Jesus' word, whether Jesus was in its presence or not. He understood that Jesus' word could heal this man if he was within 1 meter of him, or whether he was 5,000 kilometers away. He knew Christ's word had ultimate authority. He knew Christ's word had authority over sickness, over death, over pain, over disease. He knew that what Jesus says is real, it's true, and it will be. This man had spiritual eyes, and Jesus goes, the whole nation of Israel doesn't have a faith like him, doesn't understand like him. Are you with me? And as we live here in Joburg in the 21st century, in 2025, I wondered to myself, what stops me from a responsive spirit like that? I think there's a few things, hey. Can be fear sometimes, can be doubt, can be a sense that I'm not worthy, can be sin at times, it can be disobedience at times, can be pride, it can be self-sufficiency, like I'll get it done myself, you know. Can be distractions. If you identify with any of this, you can just kick the person next to you. Can be busyness. Can be comfort, can't it? Can be complacency, can be unbelief, can be a lack of faith, can be past hurts, it can be disappointments. I want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that may stop you at times, as it stops me at times, no matter what it is that comes and bumps up against our ability to respond to God, each one of us can ask God and can learn and can have formed in us humility. Each one of us can constantly decide to be more generous in our spirit. We can exercise our generosity muscles. Each one of us can constantly choose to look with spiritual eyes. Are you with me? And today what I want to do is I want to offer you 5 sentences that you could respond to God with. Not even a sentence, phrases. I realize it's Sunday morning, so some people can't even do sentences. We can just do phrases. By the way, good morning, Brackpan. And good morning to Dodgy Germiston in Edenvale. We haven't forgotten you either. If I survey scripture and I distill the people in scripture that responded to God well, and I can talk about this guy, the Roman centurion. I could talk about Mary, Jesus's mother. I could talk about the apostle Paul. I could talk about David as he faced Goliath. I could talk about Hannah. I could talk about Moses. I could talk about Abraham. I could talk about Noah. Church, the list goes on, right? But if I survey scripture and I boil it down to its essence, I find there are 5 faith-filled responses that people gave God. And I'm wondering today what might happen if you and I took these phrases and learned them. That's why I gave you phrases. I realize sentences is shooting too high. Just phrases that we can remember, right? Because I don't know about you, I need short things to remember. Let me give you every person who responded to God, in essence, boiled down to one of these 5 sentences. Are you ready for them? Thank you for the right bank who's ready for them. Edenvale, thank you. I know you're ready for them. Now, number one, we can respond in faith and we can simply say, anything, Lord. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going on. Faith is not the substance of things seen. Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things unheard. You and I can respond in faith regardless of how we feel. Do you know feelings are great servants and terrible masters? We must be a master over our feeling. And the way we master our feelings is we decide in principle to make decisions out of faith. We tithe as people of God, that's out of faith. Not because we feel like it, because it's a principle. We serve because Jesus served. Are you with me? We take notice of the poor because it's a principle. Are you with me? We forgive. We offer forgiveness. We are kind and compassionate. Not because we feel like it, but because it's the principle of Christ. So we respond in faith and we go, God, anything. You can do anything. I can do anything with your power. I will do anything you ask me to. Are you with me? Anything. We can respond, secondly, out of obedience. And the answer is yes, Lord. Whatever he's asking us to give up, whatever he's asking us to get involved with, whatever he's asking us to divorce ourselves from, remove ourselves from, whatever he's calling us into in a greater level, in a greater measure. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We can respond thirdly with prayer. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. We can respond fourthly with courage. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me. And we can respond fifthly out of surrender. Your will, Lord. Your will. Imagine for a moment we became the people of God who every time the Holy Spirit spoke, every time we got in worship and we sang a lyric, every time a text was preached to us, every time a moment in Scripture comes alive to us out of Scripture, every time we set our alarm and we're on our knees, every time we notice poverty and ask God what we can do to help, every time we give dignity to somebody who may have less than us, every time we offer forgiveness, every time the Holy Spirit says, when are you going to get into a life group? When are you going to start serving with your life? Are you with me? Imagine we responded with one of those five statements, or two of those five statements, or three. Imagine our response was not ostrich in the sand, but it might be today, anything, Lord. Because I don't know about you, when God gets my number, sometimes I'm like an ostrich. I hoi my head so far in the sand, and I go, God, I'm not ready to listen to this right now. Some of you are going, it should have been like a chicken in the sand, right? A chicken. Anybody relate? Any ostriches here today? Was a man called George Muller, scary looking dude. There'll be a picture of him on the screen. I don't recommend you look at him as you go to bed tonight. Don't. An amazing man, him and his wife in the 1830s, they lived in Bristol up in England, southwestern coast of England. They noticed the amount of orphans that had just started to live on the streets of Bristol, and they began to take in those orphans, and they created their own orphanage without any funding, without any level of approval. They literally just said to every orphan that they could see, and they started with 30, come to our house at night. We'll offer you a plate of food and a bed to sleep on. And we don't even have a bed, so you can sleep on the ground, but we do have a blanket. One day, the story is told that they sat down with their orphans one morning for breakfast, and there was literally no food. And George had taken a decision many years ago not to ask a single soul for money. He decided he would lean on the Lord completely for his finance. They sit down to brekkie one morning and there's nothing to eat. And instead of panicking, George and his wife begin to pray. Next thing you know, there's a knock on the door from the baker. And the baker said, I just felt prompted to bake more bread last night. Could you guys use that? Next thing you know, they hear a clatter outside their front door and a milk cart has come and stuck. One of the wheels on the milk cart is broken. And the milkman says to them, listen, this cart's going nowhere. This milk's going to spoil. Would you like the milk so that it doesn't spoil? And story after story after story after story of this man and his wife who just saw God's goodness. Why? Because he responded to the prompting of God. It's not right that there's so many orphans on the street. It's not right that you go to bed at night and they sleep outside your front door. It's not right that there's a need and there's a poverty. Are you with me? I want you to notice. Let me tie this together for you. I want you to notice George's deep humility. I want you to notice the generosity of his spirit. I want you to notice the spiritual eyes that he had. God can supply. God will provide. Are you with me? Team at the back, would you mind putting those five statements up? I want you to notice. I want you to notice his faith-filled response. When God said, start an orphanage, what did he respond? In faith, and he said, anything, Lord. Are you tracking with me, Thrive? When he said, I want you to take on any orphan you see, he said, yes, Lord, out of obedience. When times were tough and he goes, where's it going to come from? What's the response? With prayer. Please, Lord. When the task became overwhelming, and it's now it's not 30 orphans, but it's close on 100 orphans in their home, he responds with courage, strengthen me, Lord. And at the end of his life, him and his wife had saved 10,000 orphans from the street. That's out of surrender. Your will, Lord. Your will. You with me? I've been wrestling the whole week with how to say this. Stuff happens in our lives and stuff happens through our lives. And I want to be clear about both of those statements. We are not a church that has a bless me mentality. God does bless us when we respond. But God blesses us so that he can get stuff through us. Are you with me? I wonder what would happen in your life and in my life, and I wonder what could happen in my life and through my life if every time the things of God came my way, I responded and said, yes, Lord. Anything, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Please, Lord. Your will be done, Lord. I wonder what could happen if those five statements became part of our daily prayer language, if those five statements became part of your vocab. I wonder what could happen if you greeted God every morning and said to him, yes, Lord, your will, Lord, strengthen me, Lord, please, Lord. I wonder what could happen in our lives if we said to God every morning before anything else had happened on our knees, God, I don't know what this day brings, but my answer is yes. God, I don't know what you're going to ask of me, but anything, Lord. I don't know what the challenge of today is all about, but please, Lord. I don't know what bump in the road is coming my way. Strengthen me, Lord. And I want my life to count, Lord. So your will, Lord. Amen. The power of a faith-filled response. Here's a vision for your life and my life. Imagine we were people that made Jesus's jaw drop. I'd like to walk into heaven one day, and when Jesus sees me, his jaw drops and he goes, oh yeah, it's you. Let's take a moment and pray, shall we? This morning, it would be my privilege to invite you to respond to Jesus if you've never made a decision to follow him. Or perhaps you did, but that was some time ago and life has taken you in weird and wonderful directions. This morning, I would be so privileged to help you respond to God, because as I've been speaking this morning, he's been prompting you and he's saying, you need to give your life to me again. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. Remember, we've been talking about the power of a responsive spirit, the power of a faith-filled response. Well, today you can demonstrate that by responding to the initiation of God. Remember I said, God's an initiator and we're the responders. Well, God has been reaching out to you all through your life, and he's brought you to this place for this moment in time right now where you find yourself, so that you can say yes to him. And the moment we say yes to him, we say yes to following Jesus. We say yes to moving over, getting into the passenger side of our lives and letting God take the wheel. We say yes to letting Jesus be our Lord and our Savior. When we say yes to Jesus, we are saying yes to him as Lord. We are saying like the centurion, Lord, Lord. We're saying, you are my authority. You are my Lord. You are my master. You are my king. You are the one I follow. You are the one I obey. You are the one I give my life to. But we're also saying yes to him as Savior. That his blood, like our Easter theme, red, one color changed everything. The blood that was shed by Jesus for us brought our salvation. Our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. And this morning, if you want to respond to Jesus in just a moment, I'll do a quick count to three. That's just so that everybody knows this is the moment to respond. And as I do so, when I get to three, if you want to respond and say yes to following Jesus, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up nice and high, nice and quick, so I can see you. Say thank you. I'm going to ask you to put your hand down, and then I'm going to pray for you, and I'll pray for you from the platform. I'm not going to invite you up. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm simply going to say thank you, and I'm going to pray for you. Ready? On the count of three. Here we go. Edenvale and Boksburg, both campuses. Now's the moment to respond. Ready? One, two, three. Hands up all across this place. Thank you, 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 thank you. So many thank you. As your hands are going up, I'm seeing you. Just hold them up nice and high so I can see you. Thank you, sir, in the balcony. Thank you, thank you. So many. Come, let's pray together as a church. Thrive, Edenvale, Boksburg. Come on, every single one of us, let's be the church in this moment. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, thank you so much for your love for me, for us. Jesus, thank you that you lived for me and died for me. Today I say yes to following you. I say thank you for your blood shed for me. I say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Begin to write a new chapter on my heart in Jesus' name. And everybody in this beautiful church said, amen. Come on, church, let's give it up for every single person who said yes to God. Isn't that good? God's kind, isn't he? Come on, let's give him some praise.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.